Good morning, church. This morning, we will continue with the book of Acts. And we are looking into Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 31. And I have titled this message this morning, The Power of Jesus' Name. And so I want to take you very quickly on the overview of this chapter 4. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come this morning, Lord, and worship you and listen to your word. We pray, God, that you will help me, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, Lord, as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name. And so now I'll take you very quickly through Acts chapter 4. Verses 1 to 7. Verses 1 to 7 talks about persecution, and here Peter and John, they were put into prison. But you know that the believers continued to grow to 5,000, and they were put into prison because of healing a lame beggar outside the temple. And so the Sanhedrin asks, by what power or name did you do this? And Peter boldly responded, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in verse 10. And in verse 11, Peter was preaching to them. He says, salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. The Sanhedrin were amazed by this uneducated man and ordered them to stop talking about the name of Jesus. And Peter replied, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. The Sanhedrin had no choice but to release them because they were afraid of the people. And then we go into verse 23 to 21. Here, Peter and John and his friends, they were praising God for what God has done to them. They were released, and so they joined their fellow believers in praising God. And as they prayed and worshiped, the house was shaken, filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke even more boldly. And so that's a quick, very quick overview of this chapter 4. Now I want to just recap a little bit. The book of Acts is a record of the growth of the church, as we know, and it talks about the first 30 years of the early church, roughly between AD 30 to AD 60. And God, through the Holy Spirit, was working mightily through ordinary people. And the key words, of course, in the book of Acts is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And we know, as we look into the book of Acts, in that upper room there were 120 people in Acts chapter 1, and then the believers grew to 3,000 in Acts chapter 2 and grew to 5,000 here in Acts chapter 4. And this is still in Jerusalem. It has not gone out to Judea or Samaria or to other parts of the world. And what happened in Jerusalem is very important to us, because today we are Christians because of what happened there. Because after that, the gospel continued to spread to other parts of the world, to the West, to America, then it came to China, to our country, and that's how we all receive gospel. So let us now unpack this passage a bit. I want you to have your Bible with you, because I will be reading a lot of verses. So very important for you to have your Bible, whether you have your physical Bible or you have your devices with you. Please open to Acts chapter 4, because we'll be dealing with verses 1 to 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who have heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Now notice, this is indeed the first recorded persecution of the followers of Jesus. The rabbis, especially the Sadducees, they were very angry because Peter preached about the resurrection. And as we know, the Sadducees, they do not believe in miracles and they do not believe in resurrection. And so they were very angry. And also, Peter healed a lame beggar. That was the reason also why they were so angry. You will remember that in chapter 3, Peter saw that the beggar sitting, as they were going to the temple, the beggar was sitting near to the entrance of the temple and begging for money. But Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you." And he lifted up the lame beggar and he managed to walk. And that's why they were so angry. And so for the next 300 years or so, Christians continued to be persecuted until the tide turned in the year 324 AD when Constantine converted to Christianity. So church historians say that the church grew the fastest during the first 300 years of history. And of course, since then, empires have come and gone, but Christianity continues the onward march in spite of persecutions. Persecution caused the believers to spread out geographically. Today, of course, 1/3 of the world are Christians, between 2.3 to 2.5 billion. But persecution of Christians have not stopped. When the communists took over China in 1949, many missionaries were martyred. You recall that Hudson Taylor brought a lot of missionaries to China, about 850 of them. And many of these were killed, were martyred during the communist rule in China. And in 1966, Chairman Mao declared the death of Christianity in China. Well, brothers and sisters, you know Chairman Mao is dead and gone. When China opened up in the 1980s, foreigners discovered that the Chinese church not only survived but thrived in the midst of severe persecution. Today, there are more than 100 million Chinese Christians, more than the number of Communist Party members. The Communist Party has got 90 million members, but today, there are more than 100 million Chinese Christians. In fact, some figures put it to 130 million. And so in the last 5 years, there was another wave of persecution in China. But if history is to be the pointer, the Chinese church will not only survive, but continue to thrive. We know God is in control. At the end of 2018, the last elder of Early Rain Covenant Church, he was arrested, and he wrote a letter to his flock. And when you read this letter, it is like a page from the book of Acts. He says, "Since yesterday evening until noon today, over 100 pastors, elders, staff, brothers and sisters have been taken away. And of now, we still do not know where they are. And even if we did know, it would be difficult for us to help them. But thankfully, we know for certain that the Lord's loving face is shining upon them. They are within the gracious, sovereign providence of the Lord. He will be with them in the midst of their chains and trials." And concluding the letter, he said, "Beloved brothers and sisters, I am writing this letter in hiding. May you all be filled with joy in the gospel of Christ. May you welcome, filled with hope, the even heavier cross and more difficult lives that lie ahead of you. Incredible. And a few hours later, you know, he was arrested, and I think up to today we do not know where he is, in which part of China. In fact, the church in general worldwide has been much encouraged by the faith of our persecuted brethren in China. As long as we proclaim the gospel, we cannot escape persecution. It comes in a package to follow Jesus. Salvation is free, but following Jesus will cost us something. The Apostle Peter was to write later, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 to 14. And so, as you know, the Great Commission is given with the great assurance. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." But he also promised, "I will be with you always to the end of the age." And so now we continue. We go to verse number 8. At the end of verse number 7, you will remember that the rabbis asked Peter, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well." The power of Jesus' name. In Philippians 2, it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You remember the story of David and Goliath? David, he was just a young man, small in size, going against Goliath. And Goliath told him, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And David said to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David came in the power of the name of Jesus. And with that, he defeated Goliath. When you go in the name of the Lord, the battle is no more yours. The battle is the Lord's. What are your Goliaths today in the midst of this pandemic? Are you losing your business? Losing your job? Losing your health? Losing your assets? Perhaps even losing your loved ones? Go in the name of the Lord. Tell the Lord Jesus Christ, "This battle is for me. I cannot handle, Lord, but you can." Go to God in prayer in Jesus' name. He will fight for you. That's tremendous power in Jesus' name. Let's continue with the passage. In verse 11, this Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Some of you listening in this morning, my question to you is, are you saved? No other name but the name of Jesus. There is saving power in the name of Jesus. Is your life in a mess? Is your lifeboat sinking in this pandemic? You need a Savior. His name is Jesus. There is salvation in no other name. Let's continue in verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Someone says the apostles had no goal, but lots of glory. We have lots of goal, but no glory. Uneducated, poor, common men. Peter said, silver and gold, I have none. But they were recognized. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. Have you been walking closely with Jesus? Oh, just a closer walk with thee. If we are like the early disciples, we can be recognized. Only then can we make a difference in the world. I like this passage in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul writes, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Let's continue. In verse 14, "But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with this man? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name.' So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." And this is like an order from the Supreme Court. The Sanhedrin is the highest court then. But look at the courage of Peter and John in verse 19. "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" What did the disciple hear? What did the disciples see? Because they say, "We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." What has totally transformed them from a bunch of betrayers, especially Peter, to be men of courage and eloquence? What have they witnessed that has fired the boiler of commitment once again in their lives? What turned them around? It's the resurrection, brothers and sisters. Jesus, who was betrayed, came back to seek for the betrayers in the upper room. And they saw him and they heard him. When he walked through that door and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus Christ is alive. Brothers and sisters, has our faith grown cold lately? Have you been drifting away from God? Have we lost that first love? We need that upper room experience once again. Let's continue in verse 21. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. It's a sign they cannot deny because the man was 40 years old. He has been sitting there at the temple probably for the last 30 years begging. And he has been healed. And that's a sign that these rabbis and Sadducees cannot deny. And so they have to set them free, let them go. Verse 23, and when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Notice the moment they were released, they went to their friends. They went to their friends. Where are your friends? Real friends. People you can laugh and people that you can cry with. People who can pray with you and people who can pray for you. If you lack real friends, brothers and sisters, it's time to join a care group in the church. You see, the new normal is definitely not normal human behavior. We are created as social beings. We are able to feel, we are able to laugh, we are able to cry, we are able to touch, we are able to hug. So picture the scene when Peter and John went back home to their friends who were praying. They must be hugging one another. They must be having high fives with one another, punching their fists in the air, you know, hands lifted up, probably tears in their eyes toward heaven. Verse 24 says, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." They were praising the mighty God. God, the sovereign Lord, the creator God. When God has done something good to you, it is time to be grateful. Gratitude, a gracious attitude towards God. Not because we are powerful or clever, but only because of God can we have success. So all glory must go to Him alone. Verse 25. Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. This is reflecting on the Old Testament and seeing the fulfillment now in the New Testament. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. In the praise and worship of God, they continue to ask God for more courage and more boldness for the gospel. Leonard Ravenhill, in his classic book, Why Revival Tarries, laid bare the condition of the modern day church. He writes in his book, can anyone deny that in the modern church setup, The main cause of anxiety is money. Yet that which tries the modern churches the most trouble the New Testament church the least. Our action is on paying. Theirs was on praying. When we have paid, the place is taken. When they have prayed, the place was shaken. And so, brothers and sisters, as I close, let us take heed of this warning. Our task in the gospel can only be achieved through the power of Jesus' name, not our own abilities. Let us pray. Lord, forgive us of our lukewarmness in Pantai Baptist Church. We want to be a church where your Holy Spirit will work mightily. Work mighty things in us, O God. Help us, Lord, even if you have to use persecution to wake us up. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.